Roll the footage. Welcome to the Sales Squad, everyone. I'm Simon Severino, your host, and I have asked Alex Lowe to be here because he is the marketing genius on our team. He's a certified strategy sprints coach, marketeur extraordinaire. Whenever I have a marketing question, this is the guy I call. And so we started this Sales Squad because you guys need help with lead gen, you need help with filling the pipeline, you need help with closing at the higher win rates. We hear you, we are here for you, and we want to be present to cover your questions, answer them quickly during the week. That's why we do this live on LinkedIn, live on YouTube, live in our Facebook group. Probably I will be able to see your questions live, but I'm not sure if I can do this already in the first session. I guess it will take me a couple weeks to get into the groove of that. But I will collect them and either I answer them immediately in the end here or directly or over the next days. But feel free in the comments, just ask your questions. I will make sure we cover them. So this session is high ticket versus low ticket sales. The showdown. Should you have a cheap offer? Should you have a super expensive offer? Should you have a mix? What are pros and cons and which one is the right choice for you so that you can build your sales empire week by week? We will cover pros and cons of the low ticket sales, pros and cons of the high ticket sales. Then we'll have a winner and a loser. We'll sum it up and then we'll tell you about the next steps. So let's start with the low ticket sales, and I hand it over to Le Marketeur Extraordinaire.
Oh, thank you, Simon. Well, it's great to be here with everybody. So low ticket sales, let's go in with that one. So pros and cons of low ticket sales. Well, I mean, the pro, I guess, is that you get to build this monetizable audience of buyers. And of course, low ticket, it's often easy to create. It's often low risk. It's an impulse buy, easy for people to buy, less of a sales hurdle to cross. And we're talking more about scaling up through low, small transactions, as opposed to kind of having to, if a lot of your revenue is relying on getting a couple of big ticket sales across the line, obviously every single one of those calls or every single one of those deals is kind of precious. Whereas if you're relying more on a slow but steady drip of smaller sales, that's building you a monetizable audience that if you then decide to launch a high ticket product or you decide to launch anything, you've got a list of buyers and buyers buy. So the more buyers we're in contact with, the better. And also it's flexible, isn't it? Because you can pivot quickly. If a product doesn't work or if you want to build another one, it's fairly easy to do. You can just build another product quickly, assuming you have that capability. And because there's less decision time needed, it's often just more about being in the right place at the right time with your marketing. So there's less of a trust building or education that needs to happen. So that's what I'd say is like the pros. I'd say that's the pros of it. And obviously a lot of people are drawn to it because they like the idea of building this audience and having the daily sales come in and having that kind of product empire. The downside, to go into the cons for a second, is you actually have to build this. Like, you have to build the product, you have to test it. Some products might not work. You have to, it's largely a game of digital marketing, isn't it, essentially? When you build products, what you're doing essentially is you're becoming a product creator or a digital marketer. You have to build the infrastructure, the pages, you have to hook up the carts, you have to have a follow-up sequence, you have to, there's a lot more that goes on than people think. Typically, people equate low ticket with easier than high ticket. But I think as we've discussed, that's often false. Often it takes more effort to build a low ticket funnel or product because there's many, many, many more moving parts. So I'd say there's definitely the upside there if you can make it
work. Have you ever seen a low ticket funnel that's actually easier to pull out over a longer period? Because my experience was always it's much harder. Mm.
Yeah, I think my experience of low ticket is that a lot more thought goes into it than than most people think. Mm. Like, there's a whole thing in the marketing industry. We're often guilty of these like plug and play. Oh, it's simple. You just plug in your details and you get the funnel working and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, whenever you're coming up with any product or low ticket thing, you have to really understand the audience. You have to come up with a minimum viable. You have to test it. Mm. You have to have like a plan B, a variation. You have to have a next step, an upsell, a downsell. So there's a lot of thought and tech setup that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can make it work, fantastic. Like, you can kind of switch the ads on or off. And that's another thing, traffic, ads. It's largely a game of getting traffic. High ticket is more maybe about opening up conversations, networking, having those higher level discussions. Low ticket is all about switching on ads and traffic, having funnels. If something goes wrong in the tech, you know, you don't get the revenue that you need at that point. You know, one little slip of the finger, one thing going wrong, Facebook going down for the day, ClickFunnels having an issue, something technical happening, that's a big, big issue.
Oh, so let's talk about the technical part. We did one, we never do low ticket, but we did once for the book launch. We created like $100 growth festival. So come get inspiration, six speakers, and then they basically received the book as a gift, as a surprise during the event. So we did that low ticket event. Yes, it helped sell some, I can't remember, like 800 books. But my team was flooded with questions around payment. I'm not sure if the payment went through. Can I have a taxable receipt that's different in my country than in that country? So all these little, very annoying things. And we were like, really? For $100, we worked like our ass off answering those boring questions?
Yeah, well, you mentioned it there, like team and tech, because most people who are successful in low ticket, they're good at the tech side and they have a team. And obviously, like, they tend to do these launches or these products all the time. Their business is essentially a product machine or a launch machine. So they know it. So they're good at it. So the people who just kind of come in or think, I'll just add a product or I'll add a low ticket funnel and I'll get it going, but they don't have the tech experience or they don't have the team, that's going to be very difficult because, yeah, it's going to be a struggle for the money. So if you're thinking it's like, I don't know, passive income, to use that phrase, if you think, oh, the money's just going to magically appear. No, there's a lot of maintenance required behind it. Yeah.
The decision is really, as you say it, do I want to build like a customer support machine, a customer delivery machine with one, two freelancers, maybe full time for specific periods and maybe half time for in between periods. But at some point you need a full team, you need processes, you need repeatable checklists. And that's the main decision. Do I want to build that? Because that's a much longer game. We decided, no, that's not what our superpower is. And so we skipped it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because if you ask most people like why they're in business, obviously people might have different answers, but a lot of people will say something about freedom, right? Time freedom, money freedom, personal freedom. Now, if you build a business, and this is why you've got to think about what is my business a vehicle for before you choose the business model? Because if you choose the low ticket model, fine, you can master it and it could work really well, but you are going to, it's going to take up a lot of your time to build it and maintain it. And then you're going to have to build a team and then your time is managing. So it's like, if what you want is time and money freedom, you have to think about how are you going to be spending your time, depending on if you choose a low ticket versus a high ticket offering. And it's a different skill set essentially, or different things you have to do. So that's kind of my thoughts about low ticket. And obviously you said you're supportive of like, or your thinking is about high ticket. So what do you think are the pros and cons of the high ticket model?
I have to be very transparent. I have a favorite baby in this this game. My heart is 100% with the high ticket sales. I just shared one painful experience of the book launch. Mm-hmm. You might say, well, but it's great to sell books. Yeah, but you cannot imagine how my team and I felt during that week and the week after. It was terrible. So it has a high price, even if you think that it's highly scalable, it has a high price. So my approach to this, I was coming from the B2B world anyways, being a strategy advisor in a global strategy advisory, I was coming from the B2B high ticket place anyways. I was in a fish in water in a high ticket space. So when I went on my own, I was reading Seth Godin, my hero, yes, and inspiration number one, and Tim Ferriss. Those two guys were my main inspiration. And Seth Godin said, my strategy is simple. I have free content and very expensive and nothing in between. And I said, that resonates with me. I can do that. And so when YouTube came up, I jumped onto the chance to create free content, and I'm happy with that. I like writing emails that are content that's valuable, and it's for free, and many people never become my clients that are my readers, and it's fine. But a portion of those, some tiny percentage, they become high ticket clients. And I like that. It's an easy flow. I know how to close the high ticket sales, and I'm good at that. I only focus on that. I only take clients that need that. So for me, it's an easier game. Let's go through some examples. So we have a community member in our 200K club who's started a community and has this fixed idea of starting it for $47 a month. Now, it might be easier to get the first 20 members in, or 50 members in, or 100 members in. But my experience is, when you start with that, the price is not just the entry threshold, it's also the psychological agreement, and it's a time investment, and it's a monetary investment. So when I say, okay, I commit to $47, I'm also saying, I'm not fully in. This is not my main community. So you will have some problems later on in the activation. So when you run a community, one of the biggest problems is activation and then retention. So to get them active, to comment, to post, to ask questions, to support the others, to do bilaterals, and then to keep them active. The lower the initial agreement, the harder to do, because they are not really committed. And so you have to build that commitment later on. It's easier to build it at the beginning, and then you have only the problem of keeping the energy high, which you can do with quests and with things that we have good experiences with. Let's go through some examples of a high ticket business. Seth Godin is a good example. You can read his free blogs every day. It's free. It's decades that he's consistently delivering that blog. And if you want to have him at your event, that is very expensive. And he has nothing in between. There was one thing in between that I was a client of, and I liked it, the old MBA. It was kind of a 30 days sprint where he helps us, you know, really shift from amateur to pro in terms of start writing, expressing your voice, finding your voice, get clarity of who you are here to serve, and what is your tribe. His whole thing is, what's your tribe? Who are your people? And how do you find them? So basically for 30 days, he was prompting us every day, come on, write something, show me something, show your voice, show your soul. Yeah. We did it. He gave us feedback. It was pretty good. 30 days, and that was a lower ticket thing. I think it was around $8,000 for 30 days. It was a no-brainer, I liked it. Not sure if it's still doing it. And many do that approach, so free content on YouTube, free content on LinkedIn, free content on X, and then from there, a 10K, 15K, 20K program. I have the best experience with that, and also people that we coach, it's the easiest to just optimize for that. Why? Because you can do that for a tiny lifestyle business. If you're a trainer, advisor, consultant, coach, that's the best approach for you. If you want to scale it a little bit, you add a group component to that, and it's quite scalable. Because when you have 30 people in there, then you can start a second group, a third group. So you have 90 clients with a high ticket group approach. That's a very profitable business. You can be at a 90% profit margin with that. You can do 300,000, 500,000 per year, keep, you know, 200 plus thousand. So that's your yearly income with an easy week, because it doesn't take much. Mm. You have only to fill your week with 10 discovery calls. You close them at 50%, you're closing five people a week, and you're fine.
Mm.
So it's doable, it's manageable over years. And I'm always thinking about the long-term component, because, you know, in when you're an entrepreneur, it's about not burning out, staying in the game. And so what is easy to do, what's fun for you? And I think high ticket is fun because you 90% of that you are taking home. So that keeps it fun. And whenever somebody asks you, hey, I'm not sure if my payment went through, you are happy to answer that. You let everything, you drop everything, and you call them.
Yeah, and it takes, so you're getting more margin. You need less team, less software than the low ticket. For low ticket, you need more of that. Also, just thinking about it now, from a tech point of view, as a skill set in the world, because obviously high ticket is based mostly on conversations, networking, talking to people, as you say, the discovery calls. And that's a skill set that's just always going to be there, regardless of what happens to the economy or the world. With low ticket, it's often tech reliant. So something happens, tech changes, whatever, that skill set goes. So it's a more, when you look at it, as you say, from the long term, of the skill sets that you're building, the skill sets in high ticket, they're much more resilient, aren't they? Because they're essentially one-to-one interdynamic skill sets. That's a very good point, I think.
I think you are onto something now that you say it. And it's much more technical, the low ticket. And that's why I don't like it, because I'm not a technical person. I like to show up, to have fun with people, to be impactful, and zero technical abilities. And I don't want to build huge teams full of technical tasks. The AI wave that's coming, will it hit more the high ticket people or the low ticket people? I can imagine a world in 3 years where a low ticket funnel is just one click into an AI, yeah, and it creates your content, it creates your course with there. You talking. Yeah. I mean, we're technically there.
Yeah.
So it's much more defendable from AI to have a high ticket thing, because that is still more personal, more deep, more customized. And the advisory part will be harder to replace than, you know, a course part or just an education part.
I mean, in terms of, because I know we're sort of moving more towards a verdict of the two, but it strikes me as well, because you've got a high ticket background, because there's skill sets to both and there's dynamics to both. The dynamics of low ticket is often more the tech or more the journey that you take somebody on. And the high ticket, those dynamics happen within the conversation. So obviously, if you're used to and skilled as you are with those kind of conversations, you... high ticket is much more what you would go to. I think a lot of people get put off because they don't have those skills or they don't come from that background. They can't imagine having those kind of conversations, whereas they can imagine pushing some buttons or plugging and playing a funnel. And so I think sometimes that comes up for people, although that's largely just nobody's really born a good salesperson or able to run high ticket events or conversations. It's a learnable skill set. So it's like, if you're going to, I suppose at the ending of this, if you're going to invest your time in developing a skill set in one of these two areas, obviously you can do both, but if it's in one or the other, it's often good to invest in the high ticket, because then, as you say, if you can have those kind of conversations where you're closing high ticket, high margin products, that's always going to be in demand. You're always going to be able to sell. You're always going to be able to create high ticket products or offers quickly and easily. And also often the journey from the pipeline is a lot quicker, it can be, because you can meet somebody, networking, prospecting or whatever, have a conversation. And if everything aligns in that call, they have a need, they have the budget, they have this, they could have that. They could be your client, you know, in a couple of hours, as long as you're obviously skillful at having that conversation. Whereas in a low ticket funnel, the likelihood of them ascending may be over days, weeks or months. But it's a different time dynamic as well.
One last point, because before we move to the verdict, mm-hmm. most people will think automatically that a low ticket, high technical funnel is easier to scale. And there might be an argument for the other side, because they think, oh, high ticket is still personal. You have to deliver it. It's not scalable. Of course, the low ticket one is easier to scale. It is. But I have the experience that's contrary to what most people say out there, that even a lifestyle business for a 90% net margin advisory agency or advisory firm is actually highly scalable. You can do IP lending, you can do a community around it, you can scale it via certifications, franchises, digital franchises, physical franchises. There are so many ways that you can actually run a lifestyle business, but have the optionality that if you want to break through that 500K, 1 million per year, you actually can. And so that shouldn't be the argument, because you can scale both, I think. But probably the emotional question is, do I want to win in a game that's about pushing buttons and optimizing conversions? Or do I want, or is it more fun for me to win in a game where it's about to meet people, go deep, transform a moment for them, transform their life or business with them? Mm-hmm. That's probably the main decision. What comes easier to me?
Yeah, absolutely. It's largely personal choice. And then, as you said, you can have, and a lot of businesses do have, both of those sides. I think the thing to think about is just literally like, what comes more naturally to you, or what is your natural skill set? And then how do you either hire somebody with a complementary skill set, or balance that out? So some people, they love the tech, they love building products, they love getting creative with it. And so they've got no problem there, but they might struggle having those higher ticket conversations, and they might struggle with the mindset or with even being able to envisage charging so much for their skills. Other people, they'd be fine with those higher ticket conversations. But then when it comes to products, it's a different world. So I think if you're going to have a mixture of both, because you can have, you know, your value staircase, you know, you can have your free content, you can have your books, your small programs, you can build a community of buyers, build a community of trust. And then that essentially becomes the pond that you fish in for your high ticket clients. And sometimes it makes it easier to prospect and get high ticket clients, because you've already built those low ticket clients. So it's just largely about being prolific and consistent and getting stuff out there. But I think we're all naturally going to personality-wise be drawn one way or another. And as long as we own that and we kind of know, okay, this is where I'm gravitate towards. But that doesn't mean there's no value on the other side either. Mm. It's just working out what's right for you and what's the business that you're building, you know.
And
you,
probably you own the business. And probably what is easier to start? Because you might pick one of those that's easier for you to start. And 10 years later, when you have it working, you will add the other component anyway. So a very mature business has both components and has a hybrid. Like Tony Robbins has both of those components right now in his mature stage. But when he started, it was easier to start with a high ticket personal program. He in there 4 days fully immersed. After he had scaled that, now then he hired a team, and now he has a lot of additional lower ticket offers like courses and books and all kind of stuff. But I guess it was easier to start with the high ticket program, highly personalized, scale that up, and then add additional lower ticket things to it than the other way around.
Starting, scaling, and selling, depending on where you are in the business. So as you say, often start where you're most comfortable or what's going to get you the most money. Scale up by adding different products or services. And then obviously, if you are looking at exiting or selling, sometimes having more IP, having more products and stuff helps you sell, as opposed to a business that's totally reliant on you. So depending on which of those three categories you're sort of focusing on will dictate partly what products or you create first, and then what products you create as you grow. So that's a really good point. Yeah.
We're moving to the verdict.
It's a tough one. Well, it's for me anyway, because I can see pluses and minuses on both sides. And I do think it is about balance at the end of the day, having a mixture of both. I do think from what you were saying, I started off being more on the low ticket side. I'm now almost swinging to the high ticket because of what you said about the profit margins. There's something about profit that just lights up my brain. but balance is definitely key. So I don't know. I think high ticket might be winning it, but I know there's a lot of low ticket fans out there.
In the end, it's a personal choice, right?
Yeah.
And we are happy to answer many, many more questions, guys, and to add even more nuance to this. The sales squad is here for you. You tell us what you need. We will always contrast it to the opposite and bring you pros and cons like we did right now, trying to bring as much complexity to it. But in the end, to simplify it and say, hey, these are the pros and cons. These are the pros and cons so that you can take your decision better. So if you want to give us your questions, you can go to X, former Twitter, and give us your questions there. I'm at Simon Severino there. What's your handle, Alex?
I think it is just Alex Lowe. If you look up Alex Lowe, you'll see me at the top spot.
And we will do this every week. Same time, same platform. So if you were on LinkedIn right now or on YouTube, you can be there. Same time, same platform. Let us know what you need next. Thank you, Alex, for doing this. Le Marketeur Extraordinaire. And see you next week, everyone. Have a great week.
See everybody.
Avoid trying to do thousands of things that doesn't work. We have 274 templates for your business success. Reach your ambitious goals with one-on-one sprint coach. We double your revenue in 90 days.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com.